Hello.
Hey, Brian.
How you doing, Jordan?
Good, man. Ready to binge.
Ready to binge again.
Ready to binge once again.
Sorry, all those binge heads out there, but
that's what we're calling them, binge heads. Binge,
I guess. I don't know. We will get more frequent. This is not, this actually might work out if we do it every month. It's
yeah,
going from every
month.
Week to once a month.
And then we'll do it every other year.
For the pearl of great price.
Yeah, exactly.
That's about as often as we need to consider that.
Well, since our last one, I took a look at some of our iTunes reviews.
Yeah.
And some I would or not. Very happy. I were not happy about them.
You Man. Were not. They were not.
Here we go.
This is my working theory, and I think I told you this before. I think this is your comedy friends trying to troll you.
This one is from somebody called LDS Dem, which I think stands for LDS Demon because yeah. They're so mean. Not
listen, that person,
not Democrat.
That person knows who he's going to pick in this in this battle.
I'm just as liberal as you are.
You know, do you wonder if people who signed up as LDS Dem back when that was very edgy now are like, I mean, LDS socialist. Dem is too tame.
LDS Dem said, if this podcast was solely Brian or Brian and someone else, I'd still be listening. But I can't stand listening to the other guy. Not funny. Brian, however, is funny and very knowledgeable. And I really like his portions of the show. I hope he starts another podcast without his buddy.
That sounds directly like a troll. Like if you were to write something that was devoid of our show, it doesn't consider our show at all.
Trolling hurts. Okay, our only real bad reviews are people that are really mad about the binge mode name.
Yeah.
Like
which was shamelessly stolen.
One star. Clear title ripoff. Okay.
It's what might be happening to them is they're searching binge mode and somehow selecting our podcast out of all the options. And then being like, wrong podcast.
Why isn't Bill Simmons talking about the Book of Mormon? That's his name, right? Bill Simmons?
Yeah, but it's Jason Amell. Don't worry. I love the binge mode was the whole inspiration for the podcast.
Yeah.
They do
this is not
Star
stealing.
Wars, Harry Potter.
It's an homage.
Watching something and then doing an episodic take on that is not a particularly novel thing.
I know. That's what's crazy to me.
Isn't the X-Files just about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But this person really got us. Dawson said, should be called cringe mode, and then specified because it's not good.
That also sounds like a troll. That sounds like someone making fun of you.
Well, as Sister Swift said, the hater's gonna hate.
okay,
we're gonna get into this episode.
Let's do it. Let's abridge the record.
Abridging the records.
There we go. So we are about 3 years to the birth of Christ right now. Nephites, not doing great.
Not doing awesome.
Wicked, with an H in there.
Very wicked.
Very wicked.
Very wicked.
So a Lamanite needs to come and tell him what's what.
Yeah.
What's what, what's even.
To stop being wicked.
Samuel comes to Zarahemla. He gets on a wall. Actually, I don't know if the first time he got on a wall. He just went around telling people, hey, you're being too rich.
No, the first thing he says is in 400 years,
oh,
every single one of you will be dead.
Yeah, you don't want to lead with that. You don't want to lead with that.
No matter what you do, you will all die.
And so he gets kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
God says you got to go back. And it's, I mean, you got to work on your set, dude.
Yeah.
Your first set's not going to go well.
Listen, don't open like Benedi. Don't go with it in a disguise, you know, and then go, it is me, Sammy the Lamanite.
And I got you.
Yeah. So, snuck in here to talk.
Exactly. So the second time back, he gets up on the wall. Yeah, like you said, it tells him you're going to be destroyed. He says they're ripe for destruction, which made me salivate. He told them a curse will come upon the land where they'll bury their riches and then be unable to find them,
mm-hmm.
which is the worst when that happens. This is one of my favorite parts. He warns them that they're going to be poor and then he's like, you guys are going to be like, oh, that I had repented had I not killed the prophets and stoned them and cast them out. And I just hate when I'm in that situation where it's like, oh, man, I probably shouldn't have killed that prophet. That things really went south when that happened. So then he does give the prophecy that in 3 years there's going to be the star that signifies the birth of Christ. It'll seem like one day, but it's really a day, a night, and a day. Some people hear this and they believe and they come and they get baptized, but other people get even angrier and they're sick of Samuel, so they're going to throw rocks at him, shoot arrows at him, but force powers keep those away. And an old lady comes up to Samuel and says, "Who are you?" And he says, "Samuel." And she says, "Samuel who?" And he says, "Samuel the Skywalker." only a reference for the new movie if you haven't seen
none of that's in the book, where I was like, this lady, yeah, there's no did lady. They give us another lady with no name?
Yeah, she had no name, but she wanted to know his full name. His last name actually is the Lamanite, which is weird. So anyway,
even without a space, it's just the Lamanite.
Yeah, no space. So he throws all this at them. Some people get baptized, but people go to like take him and pull him off stage, and he flees, never to be heard from again, which is kind of weird, right? Mm-hmm. Just another character that disappears.
Yeah.
So there, after this, there's people that believe and they start having visions and stuff, but other ones that don't believe, they get even angrier. So
that's a brittle power. It's like, oh, you joined because you literally saw. Okay, this is not going to go well.
Yeah, that's very.
They might even be like, I guess I'm getting baptized. That's wild.
Some wild I saw shit. Force powers yeah. move those arrows. That arrow should have hit him, yeah. Right? So that ends the book of Helaman, and now we move on to the book of Third Nephi, who is the son of Nephi, who was the son of Helaman, and Helaman was the son of Helaman, who was the son of Alma. Who was the son of Alma? This is all in the heading of that chapter or of the book, which I. So two Nephis, two Helamans, two Almas.
You know what's funny about those is they're written by Bruce M. McConkie, right? Right. All of the headers are written by Bruce M. McConkie.
Was it only him?
Yeah. Well, he was the main guy, his committee, right? Okay. And what's funny to me is it's obvious that he has some Tolkien in him, because like announcing the name and lineage like that is hilarious for every book.
Who was the son of Tolmir? Yeah. Who was the son of Hedgemere?
Because in John, he does that, right? He does the lineage thing. Where he's like, this and this. And the reason that's important is because Jesus has to come from a certain line. So they're like doing their genealogy, which is wild back then. Like,
yeah.
I guess I'm doing my genealogy. but them just doing their genealogy, they're...
You know what would legit be cool if instead of that there was like a little diagram of a family tree each time you got to a book.
That'd be cool.
That would make it so much
easier to understand. Yeah.
Because when I read it, I'm like, do they mean to put Helaman twice or is that a typo? That's what it feels like. Do they mean to put son of Alma twice or is it really?
I just imagine all of those words in really cursive letters, and that's what I see at like the title of a page. The account of Frodo, son of. Lolodo.
No, you know. Bilbo. Bilbo's his uncle.
Bilbo's his uncle.
I think it's actually his dad. That's another deep take.
I'm your uncle.
It's like in Arrested Development with Buster.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, who were Frodo's parents? That's the whole thing. I need to go Wikipedia right now. So we move on to the third book of Nephi.
Yeah.
And let's see. So there's Nephi that we meet in the very first verse, but then he gives the books to his son Nephi.
That the first Nephi is the one that we know.
That's been happening in the past, right? But he just leaves.
Again.
And it doesn't really explain why he left. Dust in the wind.
I always imagine them going looking for him, and it's like a scene from Infinity War where they just like turn to ash and they're like, Samuel.
That'd be cool, actually. Yeah. That'd be cool. So let's see. So he gives his son Nephi. And it's kind of interesting because maybe we've talked about this before, but it seems like prophetship is really bestowed upon who just has the plates, right?
And they're in their line.
Right. But I feel like, I guess we don't know how all of his sons line up, but it's not even like explained. It's just like he has the plates now. He's going to start receiving revelation. Although there's a few people receiving revelation they say are prophets in this chapter, which I don't know if we
actually. But they don't. Do they name them?
Though the Laconius,
oh yeah,
he says he has revelation, and I think also their leader Gid Gadoni.
Gid Gadoni. That sounds like a rapper name. Yo, yeah, it's really DJ Splice and Kid Gadoni.
A very white rapper.
Yeah.
Which he might have been. So at this point, it's been a few years and people are like, oh, the sign should have happened by now. Mm-hmm. Neener, neener. Mm-hmm. And Nephi's bummed about it. And so he goes and prays and God's like, it's going to happen. The sign happens and people are like, oh no, like people are falling to the earth. These people that were like so sure about it, which it's like really a WTF moment for them. That's got to feel real bad.
So I love that take. I don't want to question it too much.
You can question my take.
But what is to say that all of the like believers just got together and like, let's act like one day is 3 days. We're like, oh geez, they don't have any way to keep time. There's like, it's been like, we've been at it for forever.
I like that.
Oh, the sun should have been down by now. One's over.
All the unbelievers are like, are you sure? What has it been? Like, no, that was yesterday when I was talking.
I've already eaten four times. gave me a little existential dread of like, oh, time's rough, man. That time, how do you like talk about anything?
They're just offering them breakfast at 8 p.m. It's breakfast time.
Yeah.
Still light out. That's funny.
I mean, they were all about to be killed.
And then they're so gullible. They're just like, oh, yeah. Man.
It came.
I knew I shouldn't have thrown an arrow at him. If I could take that arrow back. Oh, boy. Does anybody know where he is? I'd like to go apologize to him. He's gone. Find him.
But turn to ash.
I'm really sorry. It didn't even hit him. So you'd think this would make everybody get on board, but things get worse because Gaddy Anton, that old pack of thieves, those old rascals are at it again.
I just imagined, like, you know, the sign is given. It's an HBO special. The sign is given, and all these believers are so happy, and all the people are like, wait, what's going on? And then the same sign being given, but you flash to a huge giant army, and Gaddy Anton standing in front of them like... Like smiling villainously, like, now is our day.
Now's the time to really...
Yeah. Well, now is the time is literally the temple movie. Like, that whole... That would, like, fit there. The Satan temple movie speech.
Oh, right,
now is
right.
The time of my great becoming.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's probably, like, robbing people that are at church because it's like their doors are going to be unlocked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is when they're all going to be the most vulnerable. But the threat's so bad that really the Nephites and Lamanites come together. Mm-hmm. It's like
for the first time.
X2, X-Men United.
And it actually ends very much the same. They're together for a while, and then eventually they end.
Yes. But then some problematic stuff happens with skin changing colors. I don't know if you want to get into that or
not. Oh, it's just super racist. I mean, my whole righteous anger is about literally this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll save that for a minute.
Coming up,
Brian. There are some cool names. So the leader of Gaddy Anton is Gideon High. Laconius is the governor of all the land right now. He appoints Gid Gadoni to be the
Gid-Gadoni.
Gid-Gadoni, which I think their names are just a little too similar. I feel like troops were going to be confused. Gideon High is going to murder all the women and children. Wait, are we supposed to murder our women and children? No, that's Gid Gadoni. Gideon High is the bad one. He should have gone by something different. Anyway.
Gid Gadoni, drop the beat.
He was the better rapper than Gideon High. Gideon High sounds more like an indie rock band. Like Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. I don't know where that comes to mind. Anyway.
Is that a real band?
Yeah.
That you just made something.
They do that home song.
Home.
Home is wherever I'm with you.
Oh, yeah.
Whistling.
Yeah.
I can't sing, so.
Okay.
But Gideon High sends a letter to Laconius, which I think I'm pronouncing that right, but it sounds very Roman, but I like it. But I kind of like the letter from Gideon High because it's kind of clever and flattery. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, you've done so great trying to preserve these people. We don't want to kill anybody. Just surrender all your stuff and like we can get out of this on top, both of us, which it's like a little mobstery, which I thought was cool. Laconia says no, appoints Gid Gadoni. People say that they should go attack in the middle of the night because they know where all the Gideon High troops are. but this is one of those points where he says he has a revelation that he shouldn't, and that God says no. So they decide just to fortify the troops, and that's where it leaves off, right? Did you read it further than that?
Nope.
To me, it's just where their Helm's Deep's about to happen.
And it gets confusing. I think the first time a lot of people read through this, this is confusing with the end of the Book of Mormon.
Oh, okay.
Right, of that, like that final battle.
Right.
Right. That's what this feels like. But I like your analogy. This is the Helm's Deep,
not the final battle. Yeah, this is Helm's Deep. Two towers, baby.
Yeah.
And it really powers through like 10 years really quickly, like in 10 verses. It's like every year is like a verse. So we're now like 16 years after the birth of Christ at this point.
Yeah. And it's interesting, again, if you were looking at an intentional writing of this book, which I'm not saying Joseph did, I'm saying if you were looking at an intentional version, you start seeing some themes emerging about the way the Nephites and the Lamanites act across these chapters is chosen specifically by that writer, right? They're the ones that say it's important to point out how the Nephites and Lamanites are acting at this moment, right? But then when you start considering them all together, you see that each of them kind of chooses what to omit and what to put in. And right. We get another one of those, you know, there were things that were said that were not, cannot be put in this book. Always frustrating. It's like, I would have loved to hear that. but even now, like 10 verses, can you imagine the other stuff that could have gone on in that time? Right.
Right.
Okay. Either there's a ton of stuff going on or it's not important, especially to this. So you consider their intent. Of what they want you to get out of it.
Interesting, yeah.
I think about that a lot when it's like, and here's my verse.
Yeah, exactly.
Peace. I didn't like this rock thing, this chiseling. It's not my jam.
There's a verse that says, writing is hard. Okay, okay, man, you ready for righteous anger?
Yeah, I'm gonna get some angry.
Get some angry, baby.
Righteous anger.
Get don't he?
So today, talking about the curse of blackness. So I got like three sections here. First section. Members take this literally, which I guess textually it does make sense that what they're saying, because they can tell the difference of their skin.
Right.
And it's not a long enough generation. It's just kind of racist. People use that to be racist now, and I think we have further light knowledge. So I don't think, even if they were racist, doesn't mean we can be racist.
Right. So do you think, so just in your mind, what happened here? Why was that verse written? Was Nephi writing this and he...
Mormon at the end is like, well, the Lamanites were dark.
Okay.
And that's how we could tell, you know, it's the star-bellied Sneetches. And I think they're all racist. I mean, I don't think that like... they knew they were being racist. I thought they just, you know, they weren't that evolved as a civilization yet. So.
Right, right, right.
You know, Sumerians had slaves, and so did Israelites. So, like, we can't say, oh, it was in the Bible. We can do it.
Right.
So.
No, I'm just interested in how you reconcile, if there was a way to reconcile it.
I don't think so. I think it's showing that there's prejudice still within the people.
But I kind of like that take that Mormon saw that earlier in the plates, mm-hmm. that it was said mm-hmm. that the early Lamanites, where their skin was changed. Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, this are finally on the good side.
Yeah.
So obviously.
Yeah. Or like as he got older, his tail got taller.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and then their skin changed. Yeah. So I didn't like that. Secondly, it actually doesn't really matter because I have the trick answer, which is that Joseph, in several of his revisions of the Book of Mormon that most people have no idea took place, right? Like the first up until Alma, anytime you hear the word Son of God or the Messiah, those just say God.
Well, right. But did Joseph change that, or did the church change that later?
Joseph did.
Oh, Joseph did.
Yeah, Joseph changed a lot in the Book of Mormon.
Because we've talked about that, but it makes more sense that they would have said God. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as the overall story, they shouldn't mm-hmm. have. But mm-hmm. if we're looking at it, like, piece by piece and, like, the knowledge they had at the time.
They should say God. And I think that creates some anti. I also think it's like, it's interesting to look at it through the lens of Joseph, right? Like, maybe after the first vision, he was the first account of the first vision, he just says he sees Christ.
Right.
Later, he says two personages. And I wonder if he's editing his own history after, in the Book of Mormon, he gets to Alma. Where it breaks down. It's like, oh, well, then all that stuff was wrong. I got to go correct it.
Right.
Which, again, shows you how simple-minded Joseph would be to think, oh, I got to go. Just got to go back.
Just got to fix all that.
You literally saw this out of a hat. You should trust it.
Yeah, just see it. See it through, man. Yeah, I think that puts an interesting perspective on whether, like, it just, like, if you think it's all BS, I just feel like the BS could have been craftier.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
Which sometimes isn't a great argument, but yeah. I don't know. That's how it plays in my mind.
If you wrote a book like that, no, as a history, it makes sense. They had more knowledge, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we didn't know that, you know, Snoke was Emperor Palpatine's. That's a huge spoiler.
Seeing the movie, I don't understand what he was.
Yeah, what's going on?
I gave the very last line of the movie already.
Yeah, well, that's stupid. Anyway, so. So Joseph went back and he actually changed all the times where it said turn from white to or from dark to white, and went from turn to from dark to delightsome, which he was saying dark, not as a metaphor.
But so why didn't that change get implemented?
Oh, so he printed, that was the one of the latest changes, and they started printing them. But Brigham had taken all of these Books of Mormon before the revisions to Europe, and most of Europe was reading out of that one. And then when he took over the church, he was like, no, this version.
Right.
Because it's the version I taught.
Oh, interesting.
None of that other garbage.
Were there any other big changes that didn't get implemented?
It was actually that they had a somewhat up-to-date one, but not a ton of other stuff.
Right.
And then that's the one that we use in the church and has been cleaned up since then.
I think every year they should do a new edition, like a textbook. Just move a couple books around. Pretty much the same content. We're still recording, right?
Yeah. So my righteous anger is that Brigham Young, in some ways, really screwed up, especially in race.
Well, he screwed up a lot of ways, but
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But he got. I mean,
that's interesting. I didn't know about that edit that Joseph did.
So when I read that, I can go, okay, so Joseph obviously understood that at least at this point when he was revising, there was rumblings of slavery being abolished and that he was an abolitionist. So,
well, yeah. And a lot of the early torment that the early Mormons had was that they were anti-slavery in Missouri, which was very pro-slavery.
Yeah.
Like that was a lot of the early persecution, was just because the Missouri people didn't want him there.
Yeah.
And not that they stood by their beliefs a whole lot, but that was the original.
Yeah.
Because they kind of went, because they're like, you guys can do what you want. Don't kill us. You can do what you want. Which is understandable.
Don't kill us.
We just won't have slaves. You can have slaves. It's fine. We're not mad.
Please don't kill us.
You're not mad.
You wouldn't help a slave. I think about this all the time, and it's like, that's wild. I hope we never get back to that as a society. Where we're like, hey. That person is in, I own him and he can't do anything without me saying it.
It's like, it's so crazy that it happened.
Like, can you imagine being a slave?
It'd be awful. Yeah.
Be like, yo, I got needs.
But do you ever think that you'd be one of the cool ones? I'm just kidding.
Ooh,
good stuff. Sorry, that's dark.
Okay.
That's really dark. No, it's when I think about stuff like that and like Holocaust, I can understand the brains of Holocaust deniers.
Yeah.
Cause it's like that didn't happen. Yeah. They're just people that just believe in the humanity of men too much. No.
No, that's fine. No. Whew. Okay. Should we liken some scriptures?
Yeah, let's liken the scriptures.
Likening the scriptures.
So mentioned earlier, there was Samuel had a very interesting curse or warning of a curse that would be put on the land where they would bury their treasure, but then not be able to find it later. Which is just interesting because it begs the question, why would they bury it in the first place? They were listening. It's like, okay, so we won't bury our necklaces.
Yeah, okay. They mean hide, but not actually bury. But okay, I get you. Oh.
So I was ruminating on this, really soaking it in, marinating it in my brain. And I came across, how do you feel about squirrels?
I think they're cute.
You think they're cute?
Yeah.
I thought so too until I realized something.
Yeah.
So squirrels, they bury the nuts they find and stuff, right? Okay. Did you know they don't recover 74% of those nuts?
Yeah.
And at first I was like, why would this happen? And I realized, well, they're not a covenant-keeping people. Their nuts disappear after they bury them because of a curse. Brian, it finally makes sense. There's a curse that can happen where God makes it so you bury stuff and you can't find it. And these squirrels, whose entire lives depend on them burying their prized possessions, 74%?
Just pull that.
That number's so high.
That's funny.
No, that's a real number.
Yeah, it is a real number. Good
point. National Geographic.
74% of what?
They're nuts.
Oh, or just go away.
Well, recovered. No, they just never recover them. We don't know why they never recover. I assume it's because God makes them disappear.
Yeah.
Because they aren't keeping their covenants. Because squirrels are too focused on the riches of life.
You notice how the covenants in this world work between like the church and the land? They're like, hey, this is your land is blessed. It's not like, hey, what's your covenants? Hey, what's your, it's a joint covenant with the church. Anyways.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have one more. Yeah. I know you like that one a lot, but I have one more.
Likening.
Because Samuel, when they're about to, he does a terrible job, comes back. Mm-hmm. Maybe not a terrible job, rough crowd. Comes back, does it again, and then he just hightails it out of there and was never heard from again. Mm-hmm. Which I did a bunch of corporate shows that went poorly this Christmas break.
Oh, really?
And I just took my check and was never heard from again. And I was like, I'm just like Samuel the Lamanite.
Do people throw things at you?
If they did, they missed. So I had the spirit of comedy on my side. They missed. No, I had to do a private show speaking as if this is a history of the ancient Americas. Mm-hmm. At Brasa Grill, which is a Brazilian grill.
Okay.
Where it's like Tucano's, where they're like serving food the entire time. Yeah. Like they're bringing food out always.
So and you're Chuck E. Cheese.
And I was in the middle of a room. Well, people.
It's really
like
good.
Samuel had a rough, but this was worse.
Oh, man. That's good.
But I'm just saying, I likened it unto a corporate show where you just take your check and get out of there.
Go home.
And, drive away.
That's really funny. Yeah. Oh, okay.
There was liking the scriptures for you.
Yeah. Let's do some AP Mormonism.
AP Mormonism.
Some smooth jazz. That's what I think of AP Mormonism. Okay, I'm going to pull up my scriptures, which I would just say did not save correctly.
Yeah, we're blaming the church app.
I am. If you do it in the web app, there's a possibility it doesn't save, which is ridiculous. It should be auto-save. Okay, in Helaman 13:4, and it came to pass they should not suffer that he should enter the city, but he gets up on the wall.
Yeah.
It's like, just imagine if a Middle Eastern man came to the Salt Lake City, stood on top of the temple, and began to tell the people over like a bullhorn that Christ told him that they were going to be destroyed for not helping the poor. Okay, that's a lot. Now imagine the police arrive and begin shooting at him. And nobody can hit him.
Well, the SLCPD is a notoriously bad shot. Yeah,
they're like stormtroopers. but you'd be like, yo, guys, cut it out. if you're fighting Neo and he stops all the bullets and they all fall, you got to be like, well, this is this is not fair. It's not a fair game. Whew.
No, that's a good point.
Love how this is about the end of the Book of Mormon in Helaman 13:9, and 400 years shall not pass away that I cause that you shall be smitten.
That's also a weird threat, because they're like, well, that's not going to be me or even my kids.
Yeah.
he's throwing weird threats that are scary, but I can see them being like,
hey, global warming. Imagine it. Hey,
Do we have 400 years?
I mean, I think like as a species. Yeah. Mass death, we can become very, very, like, like much more rare.
Yeah, that's true.
Before everyone moves on.
That's a good point.
I don't think it's ever happened. Well, I mean, it's happened in animal history. But in human history, we've never had to been like, oh, we survived a mass extinction event, which means we had to evolve in these ways. Everyone else died.
Right. Did you ever see Downsizing?
Uh-uh.
Oh,
okay. Is that what is it about?
Strangely enough, yes. The whole reason they invent this technology to downsize people is to reduce the waste. It opens with it's so crazy, weird, and like existential. You should watch that movie, because it is advertised as a comedy, and it's not. It's like heavy. Yeah. And it ends. I mean, do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
The world ends. And the only people that survive are these group of like 500 tiny people that burrow into a little hill. But yeah, 2/3 of the way through the movie, they're like, we tried and we're too late. The world's, it's over, everybody. it's wild. That's, man,
good stuff, man.
It's not, it's not very good movie. Yeah, but it's really interesting. Okay,
that's funny. Continue. That was not advertised that way.
No,
that's like
we walked in the movie and we're like, what is happening in this movie? Everything you saw in the commercial happened in like the first 10 minutes, and then it's like the world's gonna end. And
that's funny.
It's wild.
Whew. Ah, okay.
And not a fun, like a very serious tone, like. Okay,
good stuff.
Continue.
Good stuff. Helaman 13:8. Whosoever shall hide treasures in the earth shall find them again no more. The hiding of treasures theme is interesting, because both within the text and considering Joseph Smith's history, with he had to give up. Treasure hunter. In order to get the plates, which is in its form a treasure from the earth, right?
Right.
So, kind of a fun little motif there.
Yeah.
And
Helaman, then he probably did that, and he's like, "All those times I thought I was about to find some treasure."
Yeah.
It's like, this seems like there should be treasure here. Yeah. Sorry, it's because the Lamanites were wicked, or the Nephites were wicked. Disappeared
there should
them.
Be nuts here. Okay, Helaman 13:20, and the day shall come that they shall hide up their treasures because they have set their heart upon riches, and because they have set their heart upon riches and hide up their treasures, and they shall flee before their enemies, because they will not hide unto them up unto me. Cursed be they and also their treasures. And in that day they shall be smitten, saith the Lord. I'm like, hey, quick question. Does $100 billion in investment fund count as hidden treasures?
It's not hidden anymore.
Yeah.
Adrian and I went to Temple Square and we're like, the lights don't really seem like as impressive this year. And I was like, well, they're probably trying to save some money. Can't go all out on lights.
Do you know that Packer didn't even know about this fund? Like, not all the 12 even knows about this thing.
Who then?
I don't. It's like a shadow organization. It's like a guy at a desk that seems like, yeah, they tell me and save $10 on every single one. And they just invested it. Really
How did
well.
You find out the Packer? Where did you get this information?
That's probably an exclusive.
Too secret.
Be careful, yeah.
An inside source.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've been known to know weird things like that.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
But wait, Packer's dead, right?
Yes.
But did like Nelson know about it?
I don't know. I only see you've revealed the person I know about. 12. I mean, Packer didn't know about that. Whew. 13:25-26. And now when you talk, you say, if our days had been in the days of our fathers of old, we would not have slain the prophets. We would have not stoned them. We have not cast them out. But behold, you are worse than they, for the Lord liveth. If a prophet come among you and declareth you the word of the Lord, which testify of your sins and iniquities, you are angry with him and cast him out. Yea, you say that he is a false prophet, that he is a sinner, and that of the devil, and because he testifieth that your deeds are evil. And I just think that that reminds me of the church culture right now in some ways, but.
And what do you mean?
The way that people are who speak up against the church are cast out when they're like, hey, because it's not even people who are like, hey, this is false and it's a cult. They're like, hey, you're not living by that standard that we said we were going to live by.
Right.
Like, X. Get out of here. Get out. Okay.
How are you going to do? You ran out of notes.
I did. I'm
just going to power through.
I don't know. I feel like I had more, but maybe it's not important.
I think it is important. And I believe in you to spitball this.
I mean, talked about how Samuel the Lamanite, again, probably walked into the jungle and was immediately eaten by like a leopard. Like a boa constrictor, I don't know.
The rough end.
They're like, where'd he go? They probably just floated into to heaven. cut from that to the actual like mauling.
Some evil Nephi just twiddling his fingers on the back. And he was if never you're a heard
prophet,
from again.
Again, if you're a prophet, I feel Joseph must have felt this way.
He's like, at the end, we all die?
Wait a second. Wait. You're not going to do anything here? Like, I haven't earned this? Oh, that's funny. That many of the dissenters who fled unto the Gadianton robbers. This is this new generation. I equate this to modern times as well. This is a new generation of people who want to like shoot up schools.
Yeah, it's scary because like, it says they were like trying to specifically the youth, right?
Yeah,
they were like
the rising generation, and they're like, I hate this. Let's kill them all.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen the new Dave Chappelle?
They got all the people on 4chan. Yeah.
Have you seen the new Dave Chappelle? Where he's like, I hate school. I mean, I hate school all the time, but kill everyone at school?
Right.
That's some heavy stuff. Have you tried drugs? Funny stuff.
Yeah, no drugs back then. Only killing.
Again, I think that the sign given, there's so like three levels of what I think about this. The first is, did you remember that that cartoon? Where, like, everyone's kneeling down and they have, like, swords above their necks. They're about to kill all of the believers and then the sun comes up again. Which doesn't make any sense because it never should have gone down.
Right. It was a cartoon?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I saw that one.
That's traumatic. It's, like, etched. I mean, like, this was shown to me as early as you can possibly imagine. And I was like, there's a lot of cutting off heads in this book.
Yeah. So that's pretty intense.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw does this happen in the Testament?
No.
Well, I think they show the sign at the very beginning, right? No,
they don't.
They really do. In the Testament?
The star, you're right, yeah.
Don't they at the beginning?
Yeah, that's the dad. And then the dad has this son, and his son is wayward.
Yeah.
And then he goes blind.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't get to see Jesus, but at least his son did. And then Jesus touches his eyes. And none of this is anywhere in our scriptures. This is a fictional story, which you guys should probably not associate. I'm sure Melissa Turnbo thinks that that happened.
Anybody we showed that video to. Well, this will kill an hour. Let's definitely watch this with every person we run into.
In the mission.
Which is a lot for people to take in if they don't understand what our religion is.
This 1 hour movie is intense.
Wild.
Good times. Remember how we had that pirated version, literally a pirated version of the Joseph Smith movie?
We did?
Yeah, I had a pirated version and we'd show it to people. And it had like music from like The Village in it. Like the movie The Village.
Oh, I don't know. I think you showed people before me.
I didn't make it. Like I got it. So someone else out there.
The Village has great music.
Was making, well, they used a bunch of music, but it was making like a alternate director's cut.
I love it.
Or they sent it to someone in the church audio visual department and they were like, hey, I'll just send this to my friends. Like,
that's rad.
I'm working on The Last Jedi. I mean, the Testaments.
I did have a pirated version of X-Men Origins Wolverine. Do you remember that?
No.
There was somebody we were teaching. He's like, hey, I have all these pirated movies. And he's like, do you want them? Like,
yeah. Yes. Of like movies that had already come out.
Yeah. But the X-Men Origins one was legit one where the special effects weren't finished. And so it was so confusing to watch because Wolverine would be running on a green screen. And you're like, what's supposed to be happening? And that's the version I saw for a long time.
That's funny. Oh, man. Okay. Well,
any more AP Mormonism?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sad that my...
I'm sorry, dude.
That my notes didn't save.
You could do a deep cut later if you want to redo it all.
No, I don't. I really don't. I want to get through this, especially with the Book of Mormon being the focus of study in the Come Follow Me this year.
Yeah.
I feel like this is our time to shine.
I definitely knew that.
I mean, they're studying the Book of Mormon, Jordan. You know how people can catch up on the story.
Binge mode.
Okay, 3 degrees of story.
Three for me. I liked the letter that Gideon High sends to Laconius. Just because it was a very, it seemed cinematic. It seemed like something that'd be a smooth talker in a movie. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Even though he's a bad guy, but I like that.
He's a bad guy. Sorry. Wreck it off.
Do you want me to do all three? Do you want to do one of yours?
No, you do all three.
I think Samuel Lamanite is just a cool one because it's a very iconic picture. I don't know. Maybe it's just in my head, but I feel like Samuel Lamanite you hear about a lot. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of an interesting character because he just goes and then he's gone. Mm-hmm. Which we build up. I always think about, I'm sorry Star Wars is coming up so much. People were really mad at the last movie because Captain Phasma or whatever, is that her name?
Yeah.
She just died so quickly and like they expected more character development or something. But when you think about like the original Star Wars, like Boba Fett is a beloved character and he hardly does anything.
Well, what's an interesting thing about that, he's this beloved character. From episode five from Empire.
Right.
He's in the end of it. Everyone's scared to death of him. He's just scary.
Yeah.
And then the first thing George Lucas does is knock him off of the thing. He has a jetpack. He still just like hits the side of a barn and then goes, ah, like that fake like movie yell.
Falling into the pit. One. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, I don't think he liked that character or that you like. I don't think he liked that you liked him.
Yeah.
Like, it was like an F you to the fans.
Well, and to me, it's like when you don't learn that much, then you can build stuff around it.
So yeah, especially with someone with a mask.
Yeah, exactly. Have you seen a picture of the
guy?
The bald guy with a mustache.
He looks like a guy out of Mindhunter.
Yeah, if you haven't done it, do yourself a favor and look up Boba Fett without his mask on. It's so wild.
He's wearing the most 80 glasses I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He walked out of Stranger Things onto that set.
It might ruin all 9 movies for you. So it's interesting to me because sometimes you just have these stories in your head and you don't have the context for them until you read again. But like, he's out of there pretty quick. I mean, it's 3 chapters and then he's just gone. The number one for me is the teaming up of Nephites and Lamanites. It's kind of a big plot development in the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
A greater evil has come that they have to put aside their differences.
Yeah. Oh, that was one of my notes, that it's like a Fast and Furious movie. It's like, we were enemies before, but now there's someone else.
Hobbs and Shaw.
And in the next movie, they'll be teaming up with.
I know. I only watch the odd-numbered Fast and Furious movies, so... Which sounds like a joke, but it's really true that I've seen 1, 3, 5, and 7.
That's right.
What were your three, Bri?
I don't know. They were in the notebook, so that's why I let you go. Oh. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm too tired.
I chose three pretty great ones.
You did. So, title of Liberty.
Title of Liberty.
Who do you think won, Jordan?
It's a hard one because we kind of end right before the conflict goes down. But, I mean, Samuel, he did his thing. I don't know if you consider that winning. I think Laconius right now is being the biggest of the BAs. Because because he is like, we're not surrendering and we're not gonna do a preemptive strike. Maybe he's being dumb, but he's sticking to his guns, which I like.
There's a new person on the board, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I think he wins because he was born into this world.
Oh, that's a big one.
And yeah. I always thought he told Samuel the Lamanite to go back and tell everyone. I was like, why would they believe him? But then I read this time. That's like a bit I would do. I was like, why would the people believe Samuel the Lamanite? Like, they tried to kill him before he comes back. Hey, the sign happened, or it's going to happen tomorrow. Like, hey, kill that guy.
Right.
So, but it's actually Nephi who does that.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Samuel doesn't get a visit.
Well, because Samuel, it's 3 years out. He's gone before.
I know, but does he get a visit? I don't know. I guess there's scriptures out there we don't have yet, but I just feel like that's a fun character to imagine. Like, he might have had a whole ministry down with the South.
You could do a spinoff miniseries of Samuel Lamanite of Post the Wall.
Yeah, Post the Wall.
That'd be cool with, like, flashbacks. Like, who are you? He's, like, flashing back to arrows flying at him. It's like, I just want to be a simple man.
Like an Obi-Wan Kenobi type.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he's called back in.
Yeah.
One last time.
And then he gets eaten by a panther.
Yeah, so Jesus wins.
Yeah, probably a good call.
Thanks.
But I think in the end we'll remember Laconius's name more.
What else? Do you have anything else you want to talk about today?
No, I thought it was a good selection of reading. We got the whole arc of Samuel the Lamanite, and we're building up to a big old battle. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Okay, well, join us next time when the battle starts.
Yes.
Getting closer and closer. We got a doomsday clock coming.
Oh, tick-tock, 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 tick-tock.
Watch Watchmen.
Ooh.